We serve the Emperor with our faith and devotion, and with faith there must also sometimes come sacrifice. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Tuesday, November 19th, 2019. This is episode 56, and the first episode being recorded with my new microphone. Yay! So, finally have some new equipment. It's kind of nice. I've learning a few things with it. One big thing, admittedly, is that it is very, 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 very ridiculously fucking quiet. But if I turn up the recording volume too much, which I'm going to do a little bit here, it just picks up way too much background noise. I've looked into it a little bit. I've figured out what the deal is and stuff. There's nothing wrong with the equipment. I'm just missing a crucial piece of equipment. So I'm still, learning shit and whatnot. But the microphone itself is very, very, very nice. So, I got that new equipment going. Like I said, I was going to, at least as a start. I need to get a preamplifier, seems to be the deal with this whole thing, with why it's picking up so much background noise still. Because what I'd like to do is I'd like to get to a point where I have, equipment running well enough that I can do, live streams and shit. And I can't really do that, with something that's going to be picking up a shit ton of background noise. Things going on in the background, like pets or people or whatever else is one thing, but I mean, there's just like this, you can hear the fans from my computer, you can hear like this whining, noise and stuff, I think it's just white noise basically that's picking up, and just shit like that. And that's not acceptable. But I can't record in a vacuum either. It is what it is. But yeah, overall I've got plans, as far as all sorts of different things. Oh, hello, Carl. Cat just jumped in my lap. I got plans, all sorts of different things as far as, the podcast is concerned. Like I said, I'd like to do live streaming at some point. As I can get my hands on actual, new product and hot product as it comes out, I'd like to do, review videos and shit like that through like YouTube or whatever, but it's all in stages. This is just the next step, towards the grand plan, as it were, the great design. So in the meantime, once again, getting used to this new equipment, so bear with me if there's some weird, volume control stuff or whatever, because I'm still kind of messing with the settings and things like that with this current equipment. So, if it has weird spikes in volume or dips in volume, I apologize. Overall, this should, however, still from what I've messed around with it and what I got even going so far today, I'm watching the monitoring levels and stuff. It should result in a much cleaner, less times where it's like just the gain is going out of fucking control and we're clipping and shit like that. It should result in a much cleaner, much more enjoyable experience all the same to listen to, despite not having the preamplifier equipment. But once I have that in tow as well, that should, in theory, kind of be that last piece, to really give me, short of buying some, several hundred dollar sound card with a big fancy ass mixing board with preamplifier with, several thousand dollar microphone and blah, blah, blah. One would hope that would sound good. As it stands, based on what I have, and I'm not knocking the microphone I got. It's, I think it's a newer, NW700, newer being NEEWER. I got a good deal on it through Amazon, and yeah, like I said, it is a really nice microphone. The reviews are really good. I've seen a few other you know, podcasters and stuff online and mention it. So, as a nice choice. And it is so far, like I said, it's a nice budget choice. You know, but I will say that I do very much so wish that I had, I wish I'd been aware about the preamplifier thing. Once again, I'm not an audio guy. You know, I'm just a dude who really doesn't like, you know, who can never seem to shut the fuck up about Warhammer. So I, you know, put it to use basically. So I'm still, you know, I'm still just an amateur at this, most of this shit. So like I said, just bear with me and, enjoy the ride. So, but yeah, beyond that, as far as shit going on my neck of the woods, been working on painting shit up. I'm trying to get actually a commission piece done. I'm hoping to actually have it done today, tomorrow at the latest. It is due on Thursday. So, but, yeah, work has just been nuts still, you know, 12-hour work days last week and shit. So it's been busy. You know, I think I mentioned that in the last episode that I've been very, very, very busy. But I'm trying to focus down on the hobbying as much as I can. It's just hard, you know, when you work third shift and, you know, by the time I, like even today, by the time I woke up, which somehow I slept through my alarm, which I'm used to doing that, but not with the alarm that I have. The alarm that I have now is ridiculously fucking loud. But I mean, I slept through it, but not for very long, for maybe an extra half hour, 40 minutes. But still, that's a half hour, 40 minutes that I could have been working on this podcast and painting and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's still lost time. But yeah, when you work long hours, work late hours, and last night I was beyond fucking exhausted. And, you know, I worked like a 10-hour shift last night, so it wasn't even a full 12-hour thing. But man, I could not pull my shit together for nothing. I was falling asleep on my feet, and it was misery. So I'm hoping to not repeat that tonight, but we'll see. So yeah, at any rate, let's get into some Warhammery goodness. So we've had a few different things since we last spoke. Some new stuff for the Sisters of Battle, and some other, you know, bigger announcements and such. As far as pre-orders go, for starters, the Sisters of Battle army set, no big shock, is sold out. However, it sold out with such alarming speed. Just fucking ridiculously fast speed. It crashed Games Workshop's website, and yeah, they just sold out. Just boom, done. It was gone. You know, I'd seen something, God, I don't remember where I'd seen it, but I'd seen somebody commenting on the fact that, because if you think about it, this isn't GW's first box set to sell out this year. Hell, this isn't even their first box set to, you know, or sell out in general. It's not their first one to sell out this past year. It's not even their first one to sell out in the past month or two. You know, that Feast of Bones set was fucking just gone almost instantaneously as well. And it was really fucking ridiculous how fast that shit went. So, but yeah, it's, I don't know. Somebody had mentioned something about basically like if I worked for a company and I was in charge of inventory management, you know, in charge of, you know, the new products and supply and all that sorts of shit. If I regularly fucked up my job bad enough to constantly sell out shit that was mega popular and in mega stupidly high demand, I would probably not have a job anymore. And I think that's a valid point. I do think Games Workshop wants to generate artificial demand. That's not unique to them. Another very infamous company for that type of bullshit actually is Nintendo. If you're not familiar with the way Nintendo does a lot of their shit, they really, really super love generating artificial demand. By having a really weak supply up front. You know, and in particular, since they went digital with a lot of their stuff, even though their digital platform, at least last I knew, was still not that great in comparison to what other companies offered. But that's, we're not going to go down that whole, you know, that whole road there. But the point is that, you know, this isn't a unique Games Workshop thing, but there comes a break point. Just as the same as having too much product. Having too much product is a really bad problem. You know, if you have product sitting on the shelf, guess what it's not doing? It's not making you money. And guess what it already did? It cost you money. You had to pay somebody to, you know, you had to pay somebody to manufacture it. You had to pay for the materials to manufacture it. And in the case of ones that are sitting on store shelves, you had to pay to box it up and get it out to a store and everything else, and then it just fucking sat there. Now, granted, in the case of, like, the independent retailers, GW is, you know, those retailers that, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say with certainty, because I'm not privy to each, you know, independent retailer's trade accounts and shit like that, but most likely they have already bought and paid for that product from Games Workshop, their portion. You know, what their costs are. They've already paid for it. So Games Workshop's already gotten that money. Either way. So they're not that worried as far as in terms of that goes. Now, that being said, though, is that if you have product that just rots on a shelf and your trade partners end up going, well, this was a fucking waste of my money for me to buy all this product and nobody's buying it from me, they're not going to want to buy it. You know, a healthy supply of that product next time around, you know, so you don't want to overproduce. You don't want to have too much shit, you know, that is bad. But on the flip side, situations like this, where you have so, so incredibly limited supplies, like just stupidly limited, that hurts your business. And probably in a lot of ways worse. It may not financially hurt as much. Well, it doesn't actually financially hurt as much. In one way, it doesn't directly impact your finances the way that rotting product does. Because rotting product, once again, you have to pay someone to make it. You have to pay for the materials to make it. You have to pay to ship it and let it rot on a shelf, you know, or whatever. So even if you, once again, even if you cut out the whole shipping it, and letting it rot directly on a shelf, if it's rotting on a shelf in your warehouse, it's still not making you money. You still paid for all the other steps and got nothing in return. So, you know, that is very evident up front of, yep, this is lost money. But there's much lost money to be had when you don't sell a product because there's not enough. You know, if you have 100 people that want to buy a product and you only made enough for 50 people to buy it, that means 50 people would have gladly given you their money and you missed the fuck out on it. You know, once again, granted, there are certain lines to be drawn where it's no longer worth it to you to sell that many or make that many and so on and so forth. And that's a whole different, you know, situation business-wise. But yeah, there's, you know, at the same time, that's lost money. You may not, you know, if you're not digging into, you know, deeply into your P&L, your profit and loss reports and shit, you aren't going to see that lost money. And even if you do dig into it, unless you have some business savvy and some insight to go, could my gross sales be larger? Could this have been larger if I had had more product available? You know, it's finding that balance and fixing the bottleneck. You know, the bottleneck is going to either be not enough customers, too much product, or not enough product, too many customers. You know, now the problem, though, with the whole not enough product, too many customers situation is it also pisses people the fuck off. People hate that shit, and eventually they say, you know what, fuck this shit, I'm done. You know, I am done. I actually had seen a guy in a group on Facebook the other day who, I don't know his reasoning or anything like that. But admittedly, it was, I think, on Friday or Saturday, like right after, or Saturday, yeah, it was Saturday, right after they started doing pre-orders on this box set. And he had done the post in this group just saying, I'm fucking done with Games Workshop. I'm just out. You know, whether he's going to stick to that or whether it was even related to this release issue or anything like that, I have no idea. I honestly don't, because he just posted this ranty paragraph. Oh, and I say that not knocking him. I'm just saying it as fact. It was a ranty paragraph. So, you know, he just, yeah. But I can only assume, based on what I was seeing in other groups and stuff and other places online, and his personal, you know, the way he worded things and stuff, I'm going to guess he wanted that box set and got fuckered in the process. You know, there were a lot of people complaining that they were putting the item in their basket, trying to check out, and it was being deleted before they could even check out. Other people were just having the website just straight up crash and or not load, so on and so forth. So maybe it's completely unrelated, but either way, people will get frustrated. They will give up. You know, Games Workshop, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, you got guys like me, and there's plenty of other people, particularly the podcasters and the, you know, content creators and shit out there that are, you know, focused on Warhammer. They're diehards, you know, and I'm not saying that we, I mean, there's some of them out there who will literally just, they would buy Games Workshop branded toilet paper, you know. I admit, while I'm definitely a big fan of the Grimdark Kool-Aid, there's still certain limits to where I'm like, all right, this is kind of ridiculous. Actually, Krista and I, yesterday we were at Galactic Toys, a local hobby shop here, and they had the Dark Millennium playing cards. And we were just talking the other week about, hey, you know, we want some fucking just plain-ass playing cards. You know, just something to play goddamn Go Fish with, even, or some shit. You know, just something to play just regular old card games. And yeah, I would love to have that. But it's $15. You know, it's $15 for something. Yeah, they look great. They got cool artwork. But it's still $15 for, I mean, I kind of want to look this up. How much just a good old-fashioned deck of bicycle playing cards would cost me. Oh my god, how is this hard to find the price of goddamn playing cards? Bicycle Standard Index playing cards. Survey says, no, it's actually not that much cheaper, it's not that much cheaper. Oh wait, it's a 4-count? Ah, well, either way, one deck. Here we go, one deck. $5.99 for one deck from Amazon for Bicycle Standard Index playing cards. So that's a third of the goddamn cost. You know, it's just shit like that. So, but otherwise, for the most part, you got people like me, diehards. We're gonna, you know, we love this product so fucking much. And that's not to say that we're gonna be fucking doormats all the time. You know, once again, I do the podcast, not to be a dick towards, you know, Games Workshop, or to suck their dick all the time either. I want to have just an open, honest dialogue of, this is how I feel. Man, I just saw pictures of cool models, and I'm like, oh, I'm distracted. Anywho, sorry. Point being is that, you know, a lot of people like me, we will stick around for many things, but we won't stick around for everything. You know, I mean, there was a few years I was on hiatus from the hobby for the most part. I would still follow the rules and stuff, but I wasn't building anything. I wasn't buying anything. You know, I wasn't playing any games. I think before 8th edition came around, I hadn't played a game since early 6th, I think it was. And a big part of it came from adulting and other life shit. But a big part of it, too, came from the fact that Games Workshop was just doing dumb shit. And I just didn't feel valued as a customer in a lot of ways. You know, I think I've talked about this before, about, you know, the dark age of GW hating online everything. Basically, no more forums, and nobody can sell anything online, and everything that we show in our magazine is just fucking catalogs for our product, that there was no more hobby aspect to it. Them talking about how we're a models company, not a games company, even though the word fucking games is in the word, you know, is in the fucking phrase games fucking workshop. But apparently, no, they weren't a games company. You know, just shit like that, which is just fucking stupid. But anywho, the point is that there's a line to be drawn, and when you cross that line, you're going to lose people. This situation with the Sisters of Battle box set is indicative of that. That they need to do something. Now, they did, indeed, put out a update basically saying, we fucked up, you know? They just admit, we fucked up. There's... Yeah, like, it is kind of weird actually coming from them. Normally they're like, oh, look, we sold everything out. How cool is that? And everybody's pissed, but they're just like, oh, no, this is great, you know? In this case, though, they blatantly said, they said sorry. Like, the word sorry. They say, we are sorry, you know, that they produced a huge amount of the box, but even their optimistic estimates didn't anticipate the full scale of the demand. So once again, that boils down to whoever's in charge of all this anticipation of demand and all this shit, that guy, he might need to find a new job. Because this isn't the first box set. This isn't the first product that they put out and fucked up on the counts on. In fact, there's been a lot of that going around. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a problem. Now, that being said, they are putting a new factory next to the headquarters, so they are working on amping up their production capabilities. Says they're building a new distribution, or we're working on a distribution hub, so they can stock and ship more product in a faster time frame. All right. And then they go on to talk about the fact that they got the multi-part kits coming out in 2020. So, which I will say, these new multi-part kits, that was the thing that I was like, oh, shit. I'd seen a piece of artwork that had, like, the helmet, the Battle Sister helmet that's got that white visor, but it had it, like, open, like, it hinged open and stuff, and I was like, oh, that looks really badass. I hope they make a model like that, and sure as shit, they do. So, it's like, oh, man. Now, as a note, anybody who's interested in the army set, if you happen to pre-order one or happen to stumble across one, keep in mind that that army set will not be the multi-part kits. You know, keep that in mind. These are, I'm pretty certain, monopose. But yes, they are, you know, I think they might be the easy-to-build style, too. I don't 100% know that. But either way, they're just the monopose, you know, box set type of models. So keep that in mind. If you see these pictures of these fancy multi-part kits, not the same thing. So, you know, before you lose your shit, keep that in mind. But yeah, they showed off new Battle Sisters box, which will let you build Celestians or Dominions as well. Not Retributors, though. I wonder if they're doing that. That's got to... Hopefully, that's just going to be a separate box, I guess. I'm hoping. That, yeah. And then we've got... my brain just thought of something terrible. What if they don't do a Retributor box, and you just got to buy, like, two fucking boxes of Sisters so you build one squad of Retributors? That would be... No. I don't know if they can legally do that anymore after the whole Chapter House bullshit, but... Anywho, new multi-part kits for the Seraphim, and those look pretty cool. They're on those weird, crappy, new curved flying stands, so I guess, you know, take that for what it's worth. But other than that, they look cool, so that's something. And then this new Penitent Engine multi-part kit, but they're doing an alternative, like a shooty, ranged build, Penitent Engine called the Mortifier, and they got a picture of this thing, and I just gotta say that I'm sure that in comparison to what the current Penitent engine does, that this thing probably will not hold up in, you know, relative to, although this is a shooting game at the end of the day, so this might actually be the preferred way to go, now that I'm thinking about it. But, you know, having a dedicated assault unit that's suddenly not so dedicated assault is a little, usually, you know, yeah, you get the idea. That being said, this Mortifier, goddamn, this thing is fucking gorgeous. So all these models, the new Adeptus Auroretus release is looking fantastic. You know, once again, we're not going to see a lot of stuff from them until 2020. I was listening to a podcast last night where they were like, you know, they pulled a little bit of a sneaky where, you know, they were like, oh, you know, Sisters of Battle will be out November of 2019. You know, we're going to do it. It'll be out, you know, by before the end of the year. And they did. They did put it out before the end of the year. But with the big giant fucking asterisk, we put that part out, you know, we put out a limited edition codex and a box set. Everything else you're gonna fucking want's gonna have to wait until 2020. Which, you know, their production line can only handle so much, and, you know, so on and so forth. I do feel like, damn, mega missed opportunity, what with Christmas coming up and stuff, but, you know, if that's what they could do, that's what they could do. So, but yeah, like I said, definitely looks pretty badass, all these new kits they got coming up. So, I'm looking forward to seeing more of these kits, as they release them. So, but yeah, there's just a lot of cool shit going on with them. So, but yeah, beyond that, as far as, upcoming stuff, I did want to go over that. I know normally we start with the, here's what's pre-orderable right now. But that was kind of a big part of that pre-order thing to some degree. Beyond that, they are still doing pre-orders on Psychic Awakening, Faith and Fury. You know, they got the stuff going for the Vanguard Space Marines, the Chaos Space Marine Collection, the new Sorcerer, a bunch of the Beastgrave bullshit. If you're into Beastgrave, cool. If not, cool. I don't, you know, partake myself, but, you know, it's to each their own there. But that's all available right now for pre-order. So, you can hit that up. And then once again, the Sisters of Battle army set is not available for pre-order any longer, at least not through Games Workshop. So you can check with your local independent retailer. They may or may not have it available still. So, and, if you have a, you know, Games Workshop Warhammer store near you, I believe that each of those is supposed to get a small, you know, little dash of army sets on Black Friday. So, you know, those are going to probably be first come, first serve, so be waiting at the fucking door when they open. But yeah, that's what we got going on pre-order-wise. As far as other new stuff goes, I think, well, you know what? I think we're going to take a quick little break here. After the break, we will go ahead and go over some of the other new goodies that they've announced, news release-wise and shit like that. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Regimental Vox. Follow The Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter at Regimental Vox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox today.
Welcome back to The Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, you know, going to go over some other news-related stuff. We got some more stuff with Sisters of Battle. But before we get too far into that, there were two, you know, bigger announcements. Well, one really fucking big announcement this past weekend. And one, you know, like, not unexpected but cool announcement. So let's go with the not unexpected, but still cool thing. The next Psychic Awakening, I think it's called Blood and Talons, is what it sounds like it's going to end up being called. It is the third book in the Psychic Awakening. And By the looks of it, it's going to focus on Tyranids and Blood Angels primarily. Don't know if there's anything else in there as well, but we're looking at the, you know, Devastation of Baal there from, you know, obviously that's kind of old news as far as that occurring. So I don't know what new stuff they're bringing in story-wise and whatnot. Supposedly by the end of the month, we're going to see a new Mephiston model, which what little we've gathered does sound like it's going to look pretty cool. Hopefully they'll do the Blood Angels some justice, because as it stands, they definitely, outside of Smash Captains, need some really big fucking help to, you know, turn it around. So, and then on a personal note, I really hope we, you know, see some more stuff with Flesh Terrors, actually. I'd like to see Gabriel Seth of the Flesh Terrors keep on going, because that is one of my personal favorite Space Marine chapters, but that's just me. But yeah, so, and hopefully the Tyranids could get some major love, though, too, because goddamn, do they ever fucking need it. I think last night I was listening to 40K Stat Center, and Tyranids just continue to drop further and further and further down competitive rankings. They just can't compete. Gene Stealer Cults gave them a bit of a boost earlier on in the year, and at first everybody was really fucking scared of Gene Stealer Cults, but after a few nerfs, and then the biggest thing was after the, you know, Codex Space Marine release, the big scary Gene Stealer Cult thing went to shit, and just isn't doing, you know, jack shit there. And but personally, I hope the Tyranids get enough that they don't need Gene Stealer Cults to save their ass anymore. Tyranids really need some serious love, because they're one of the coolest Xenos races in the game, in my personal opinion. But even beyond that, you know, it just, anytime any of the factions falls way behind the rest, that's a problem, you know. I mean, now I'm not a huge fan of like Dark Angels or Grey Knights, but they could definitely use some love too. Necrons, while they do have one solid build right now, they're just not super popular, because that's all they have is just the one solid build. They don't have much of anything else going on. So, but you know, we'll just have to wait and see. So now the big fucking news that was rather unexpected, and admittedly I have some mixed feelings on, is Warhammer the Old World. Now, if you are listening to this and you have only been into the hobby for the past 4 years, I think it is, yeah, I want to say 4 years, yeah, since 2015, basically back in 2015, Warhammer Fantasy Battles, the Old World, went boom. It was gone, and it was replaced with Age of Sigmar. Now, when Age of Sigmar first came out, it was a fucking disaster. It was a garbage game, and that's not to say that Warhammer Fantasy Battles didn't have its problems. It really did, but Age of Sigmar definitely went completely the wrong direction. I shouldn't say they went the wrong direction, they just did it all fucking wrong. So, for those unfamiliar, there used to be a game, Warhammer Fantasy Battles, and that's kind of a precursor to what's going on in Age of Sigmar. So, it was an old rank and flank style game where you'd have everybody, you know, in neat orderly rows and columns. If you're familiar with Kings of War kind of picked up from where when Fantasy Battles went to shit. Kings of War came out like, hey, you want rank and flank? Boom, here's a rank and flank game. And it's definitely gained popularity over the years. There's also like the Ninth Age, which I believe is just a fan-made, I've not really messed with it myself, but I think that's just a fan-made Warhammer Fantasy Battles 9th edition, essentially. But yeah, you know, when Fantasy Battles ended, basically they did this whole thing, the End Times, where they released like the Nagash model, and a bunch of, like, the Vermin Lord stuff, the Storm Fiends, they released, or the Glotkin as well, they released all these super badass models. They did this big, giant build-up, and then they threw the whole fucking game away. They did a lot of really dumb PR moves, and they put out a game that had no balance, no points values, dumb fucking rules, and it was just a goddamn mess. It was a terrible fucking mess. And I kind of get what their intention was, to some degree, was to put out a game that was much easier to just jump into and play. That a much easier rule set. You know, Warhammer Fantasy Battles had a very complicated rule set, but the problem with it was not just the rules are complicated, but the rules are complicated and there's easy win buttons that just make the game not fun. And rather than fixing that, you know, they just junked it and started from scratch with Age of Sigmar. Now, Age of Sigmar 2.0 and since then has been really badass. It's been a massive improvement and it's great to see them doing well and stuff. But the fact of the matter is they trashed one of their flagship products, Fantasy Battles, and threw it away. And now they're bringing it back. This is just weird and awkward to me. Now, mind you, they even said they're not bringing it back for a long time. We're looking at probably 3 years, minimum, before we see it come out. So, I mean, it'll be, overall, it'll be 7 to 8 years, roughly, after the, you know, after the Fantasy Battles shit got destroyed, before they re-release it, essentially. And, I mean, obviously, we got Necromunda having come out, and shit, and Aeronautica Imperialis, Adeptus Titanicus. It's very clear that Games Workshop is going into their old catalog and reviving old dead systems and games, which is fine. But it's weird when it was such a major flagship part of your products and you junked it, and because it wasn't selling and because it wasn't good and so on and so forth. And now that they're making money enough, they're like, yeah, let's bring that shit back. Like I said, it's just weird and awkward, especially with the fact that they're, by the sounds of it, going back to square bases. Now, that could have just been a marketing ploy and stuff, I don't know, but I doubt it. The problem with that, though, is it's you had a bunch of people who left Fantasy Battles completely, and you had a bunch of people who jumped from Fantasy to AOS, and then with 2.0, they finally went ahead and rebased all their shit. And now that they've rebased all their shit, you're telling them, by the way, we're bringing back that game that you just spent time and money undoing all of the bases for. We're going to bring that back, so you might want to put them back on those bases. That's bad. That is bad marketing and bad, just dumb. So, time will tell, though. There's no details or anything. I'm maybe completely talking out of my ass. This is just pure speculation as far as what they could possibly be doing with that specifically. Yeah. Now, if you're completely unfamiliar but intrigued, you can pick up the Total War Warhammer series on Steam. And if you're familiar with Total War, it's a Total War game, but set in the Warhammer Old World. So you can see what they're talking about and stuff. Now, in some ways, I think this is cool, because I do miss the old world kind of like lore and the look and feel of the old world. But admittedly, part of me misses that more for nostalgia's sake than because I think it's better. Mind you, during AOS 1.0, yes, I do think the old world was better. I think the old world was much better lore-wise. I think rules-wise, it had a shit ton of problems, but it wasn't dumb. Oh, well, yeah, I can't actually say that with all good consciousness. It had, like, once again, it had a lot of problems rules wise, but they could have addressed those problems. The AOS 1.0 rules were almost non-existent. It was basically a game where you paid for models to look at them on the table and just say, yeah, I've got models and you've got models, so I don't know, I guess one of us wins. The rules were for 1.0 were just trash, like I said. So I won't even go into all the specifics, but there's just a lot of really weird crap where you could literally say, well, you have 20 models that you own. I own 1,000. So I'm going to put my 1,000 models out if you want me to, or we can just not play it and say I won because I have 1,000 models and you have 20. You know, it's yeah, like I said, it was just really bad bad, bad design that just greatly relied on players just wanting to play a game, just to play a game. But the problem with that is you could have just easily said, go play Kick the Can out in the street if that was your thing. You know, it was completely up to you as a player, or as a pair of players, or however many people you had playing. But it was up to you as the players to decide how you were going to have fun with it. The game gave you no real structure, so it just was fucking weird. Some people, I'm sure, love that lack of structure. For me personally, I know a lot of people out there too, they need some modicum of structure. Even if you're doing like narrative shit and whatnot, you want to still have something to work from. Being just given a universe and saying go without any structure can be awkward and difficult to work with. But yeah, so overall, we'll see. I don't know. It's like I said, it was an unexpected announcement, and it's cool in a lot of ways, but it's also crap. So, alright, so before we move on to all of the Sisters of Battle goodness that I wanted to go over, one other thing, or two other things, I guess, here that I saw on the break. If you've seen the Red Gobbo model, they put out rules to use him under the Warhammer Legend thing. So you can download the rules for free from the Warhammer community site. And you can use him in open games. So it's not meant for tournament play. But yeah, just a little thing. If you want to check it out, go for it. It's kind of funny. And he's a pretty cool looking model, that's for certain. So, and then also too, I did see that they have put out, I did forget to mention, I think it was yesterday, yeah, that they put out FAQs for the Ossiarch Bone Reapers and Ogre Maw Tribes for AOS, and then I guess today they put out Salamanders and Imperial Fists. I have not personally looked at them, so I'm not going to comment either way on those right now. Plus, actually, I haven't seen the Salamanders or Imperial Fists actual books personally, so I would be commenting on an FAQ with zero context, and I'm not going to do that because that'd just be fucking dumb. So, all right, so let's go over some of the new Sisters of Battle shit that they've shared since we last spoke. Obviously, once again, that army set, it is sold out. If you really want one, you will have to either check your local independent retailer, check your local Warhammer store, or just, you know, grab the Vaseline and bend over for eBay and Amazon. I actually took a quick little stroll around on both of those just out of curiosity. And yeah, it's pretty fucking stupid. There's a lot of people selling this shit for $300+. I'd seen one that was over $1,000 and stuff. Now, mind you, it's a matter of people actually paying that kind of money. Whether or not people will is another story. But yeah, it's still, at the end of the day, it's just pretty fucking shit that this is the situation we are in. We will have to see. I'm hoping that it's, you know, I'm hoping that a lot of these people who are trying to upsell the shit out of it, that they're going to be disappointed that they can't find buyers for it, because that's just ridiculous. I'm sorry, but it's massively taking advantage of something, and I just don't appreciate or respect that. I really don't. You know, I have a problem with box breakers, generally speaking, too. As far as people who buy something specifically, where the only intent is, I bought four of these and now I'm going to split all of the boxes up so I can sell everything piecemeal for a profit. You know, it's one thing if you're somebody who's like, hey, I really want this half of this army set, and I don't want the other half of the box. You know, like with the Feast of Bones, if you want the Bone Reapers and don't want the Ogors, or vice versa, fine, you know. I can get that, wanting to sell it, but sell it at a fair price. You know, sell it for half or even less, you know. You're not looking, at that point, you're not looking for making a profit. Your goal was just to, I really wanted the thing that I wanted out of this box, and this was the only way I could get it. And I can get behind that entirely. you know. But if your goal is to, I'm going to buy this so that I can resell it at a high price, that's just kind of bullshit. So that's just my two cents there. So anyway, once again, they showed off some of the new multi-part kits, though, as well, coming out next year. As I mentioned, the Battle Sisters box set looks pretty fucking crazy. I'm actually seeing more. I've seen an up-close picture now of the one with the open visor, which I just fucking love. Because it, once again, it gives that aesthetic of the nuns with guns, like the medieval knights sort of aesthetic, that the helmet has a visor that opens up as opposed to, you know, just the helmet comes straight off. That's pretty cool. They have this one model, actually, too, that is, like, she's got, like, a scar across her face, and her head is shaven. Looking at that, the paint job that they put on her, you know, like, you can see the stubble on the top of her head from where her head is shaven and shit. Just mad detail that they really went all out with. It looks incredible. So definitely kudos to whoever did that up. But in general, these multi-part kits, the multi-part kit Sisters of Battle look fucking insane. Very exciting, very awesome looking. So they also have showed up some new champions. You know, there's the Dialogus and Hospitaller. And the Imagifier, which all three of the models are cool, but that Imagifier in particular, just really looks, you know, it's interesting because she doesn't have a super dynamic pose, you know, the way she's standing and stuff is not mega dynamic, but for some reason, I just feel like that model has a big presence. And part of it might be because of the fact that she's hauling around this giant statue on a stick, basically. And I mean, when I say giant statue on a stick, I mean giant statue on a stick. It looks like she's carrying a slab of marble that's roughly as big as she is. Which is obviously fucking ridiculous, but you know what? Grimdark. But it looks really badass. So, there's also a multi-part Canonist. That looks really cool. They showed off, looks like it's going to have like four different head options. There'll be a couple different backpack options, four different weapon choices, or actually eight, I guess, in total. It looks like you got four pistol weapon options and four close combat weapon options. So, yeah, there's just a lot going. Oh, shit. And I just noticed, too, it looks like there might be like two different like chest armor, like a torso armor and shit. So they got a lot going on with this kit, which unfortunately also means that it's going to be probably really fucking expensive, because it seems like the more, well, they get that. Actually, I shouldn't say it seems like the more pieces of plastic they put in the box, the more expensive it gets. No shit, jackass. There's more material involved. But yeah, some of those character models get pretty fucking pricey. And yes, as much as I love the multi-part kits, it can also be a little ridiculous when you add up their costs. So, they also showed off this Junith Iruta? Irita? E-R-U-I-T-A. Iruta. Like, as in fruta. I don't know. I honestly have no idea. But Caminus Superior, the Order of Our Martyred Lady. Really cool fucking, she's just like on this hovering pulpit that's got a couple heavy flamers at the bottom with a lot of like skulls and bones type of shit. Giant marble Aquila at the front of her pulpit, and she's just like riding along in it like, yep, don't mind me, I'm just here to purge heretics. No big fucking deal. A lot of cool little details with it, so it definitely looks really fucking cool. And it's nice to see new units being added in. You know, like, once again, I mentioned that Mortifier earlier, which is the alternate Penitent engine. We got some new special characters. There's one other one that I'm going to actually go over here in a little bit. And they even mentioned that they haven't even shown off everything. The Retributors. There's a Battle Sanctum, so that's probably, I'm going to assume, their little terrain piece thing that nobody's going to fucking use because the rules to use terrain in 40K are dumb. At least most likely nobody will. The using buildings and crap in 40K is just having to take up a whole detachment to put one fucking building down is dumb. And then they have something called Zephyrim, which I think is supposed to be an alternate build to Seraphim. I haven't seen or heard anything beyond the name, though, so I can't say either way what that actually means. So, they also, now, this is something I saw was a leak, so, you know, take that for with the whatever grain of salt you need to. But they're doing something, supposedly they're going to do a special character that's kind of similar to Katakross in the Ossiarch Bone Reapers, in that it's like a model made out of several models, and that as it loses wounds, it's going to lose some of those capabilities, those extra models. So they have the Triumph of St. Catherine. There is no points values on this leak. And once again, it is a leak, so, you know, grab out your salt shaker and do with it as you will. Power level 9. It starts off with 18 wounds. It has basically the wound tables 10 to 18, 5 to 9, and 1 to 4. And the way that breaks down is they have attacks 14, 8, and 6. And then relics 5, 2, and 1. And I'll explain what that means here in a moment. Stats-wise, fairly average. 3 up weapon skill, 3 up ballistic, strength 3, toughness 3. You know, nothing crazy. 18 fucking wounds, though. Leadership 9 with a 3 up save. Now, mind you, you're only strength 3, but when you're getting 14 fucking attacks, well, yeah, you do the math. You can still do some fucking work. But it gets better. It is also armed, it's considered a single model, but once again, it's like Katakross. It's a single model, so it's going to be on like a single base, but it's going to have a bunch of models on that base together. There's no pictures here, so I'm working, admittedly, I say there's going to be multiple models, and that's just based on the rules here and based on the description of it, that it's basically, it's a procession. It's like a funeral procession, or, you know, like a reliquary being guarded by like an honor guard sort of thing. So, so it's equipped with 6 bolt pistols, the martyr sword, relic weapons, frag grenades, crack grenades, bolt pistol, frag, and crack grenade. You know how that shit works. I'm not going to go over that. But there's the martyr sword, which is strength plus 3. So you're striking at strength 6, AP neg 3, 2 damage. However, when the bearer fights, no more than 4 attacks can be made with this weapon. So out of your 14 attacks, say you have the 10 to 18 plus wounds-wise, only 4 of them can be with the martyr sword. The rest are with the relic weapons, which is strength plus 2, so strength 5, neg 1 AP, 1 damage. So still nothing to scoff at when you got 10 strength 5, neg 1 AP attacks coming at you. But it's not like crazy, intense, scary, can't be dealt with, etc. So, it'll have the Axe of Faith, Sacred Rites, Shield of Faith shit. This is how this gets kind of crazy. So it's going to have the Presidium Protectiva, which is a 4-up invuln. And when resolving an attack made against the model, subtract 1 from the hit roll. Which, as we know, the whole neg 1 to hit thing is having a lot of things that are able to counter that, but still, it's still nice to have, especially since you didn't have to do anything special to get it. It's just built into this model. The Fiery Heart, morale test taken for friendly Adeptus Sororitas units within 6 inches of this model are automatically passed. Depending on your perspective on leadership and morale shit. Yeah. Then there's Solemn Procession. I cannot embark aboard a transport. Then we've got the relics thing, and this is the interesting part. So, relics of the matriarchs. This model has a number of relics as detailed in the damage table. Each relic grants the model an ability as follows. This model can only have one of each relic, so you just get one of each of these. But you start with one of each of these. When this model suffers damage that reduces its number of relics, select which of the relics and their abilities this model no longer has. If this model regains lost wounds that increases its number of relics, select which of the relics and their abilities this model regains. I find it kind of interesting that it goes from 5-2 to 1, and that's probably just for the simplicity of not breaking it down into a damage table that has 5 parts to it. I think that still would have been better. Or I shouldn't say better, but just a little bit more quote-unquote realistic. But once again, Grimdark, so. But as you lose wounds, then you got to go ahead and say, alright, these relics no longer work. And then if you regain wounds to a point where you move up the damage table, then you pick whichever ones come back. Now, obviously, if once you go from, like, 9 to 10, you're going to get all the relics and get all 5 of them, so you don't have to make a statement. But if you're going from, like, 4 to 5, going from one relic to 2, you're going to have to pick a second one to have function temporarily. So, we've got, for starters, Censor of the Sacred Rose. At the start of each turn, gain 1 Miracle Dice. I hate that. 1 Miracle Dice. It's die. Die! Then we got Simulacrum of the Ebon Chalice. At the start of your shooting phase, roll a d6 for each enemy unit within 6 inches of this model, adding 1 to the result of the unit being rolled for as a Psyker, and 1 to the result of the unit being rolled for as a Chaos unit. So Chaos Psykers, plus 2. On a 5-up, the unit being rolled for suffers D3 mortal wounds. Yikes. Basically, a Chaos Psyker is going to get D3 mortal wounds on a 3-up. So, roll a 3, then follow it with a 6. Or use a miracle, use your miracle dice to make it just automatically do so. There's some RNG in there, obviously, but still. There's a possibility of doing some serious damage, especially if you're, like, surrounded by a bunch of shit. So, Petals of the Bloody Rose, add 1 to hit rolls for attacks made with melee weapons by models and friendly Adeptus Sororitas units, whilst their unit is within 6 inches of this model. Icon of the Valorous Heart, once per phase, you can perform 1 act of faith for a friendly unit within 6 inches that has the Acts of Faith ability, even if you've already performed one or more acts of faith in that phase. And then lastly, Simulacrum of the Argent Shroud. When you perform an act of faith for a friendly unit whilst it's within 6 inches of this model, you can increase or decrease the value of 1 miracle dice used by 1 before you use it to a maximum of 6 and a minimum of 1. This is not cumulative with any other abilities that can increase or decrease the value of a miracle die, e.g. the Dialogus' Stirring Rhetoric ability. So we even have ways to modify your miracle dice, which is cool. Once again, there's no points value here. I think this sounds like really cool, but it is going to be very much so just buffy. There's a lot of stuff here that's cool because of what it does for the army as a whole and what it does against your opponent, debuff-wise, and less for direct damage output. And it's still toughness 3. Keep that in mind. That is the one thing that is very concerning with this, depending on how many points this costs. Yes, you've got a 4-up invuln, and yes, you subtract 1 from the hit rolls that attack you. And it does, it just says an attack. It doesn't say shooting or anything. It's just any attack that goes at you is -1 to the hit roll. But at the end of the day, it's still only toughness 3. Which means even Masked Bolter Fire is going to give this thing a run for its money. So, I think it's a cool idea, but the Toughness 3 thing has me thinking it's going to be way too squishy. Wounds in this game are not everything by any stretch. So, alright, there's a lot of other things I really wanted to cover, but I'm just going to cover one last thing this week. Might get into some more shit next week then that I was hoping to get at. Just wanted to go over the other part of rules previews that they've shown off for the Sisters of Battle. They showed off some Order Convictions, which is basically chapter tactics that Space Marines have and other equivalent faction shit. They showed off only a few of them to start, or actually I think 2. We've got Our Martyred Lady, which is the Blood of Martyrs. You gain one miracle dice at the end of any phase other than the morale phase in which any units with this conviction were destroyed. This is in addition to any miracle dice gained at the end of a phase in which a character unit with the Acts of Faith ability was destroyed. In addition, when resolving an attack made by a model with this conviction, add one to the hit roll if one or more models from that model's unit have been destroyed in this battle, even if they've been subsequently returned to the battlefield. So, basically, it's going to help you build up miracle dice faster. This is without the context of knowing all the other convictions. But based on what we know about miracle dice and stuff, I think this is going to definitely far and above be the most popular choice right offhand. Being able to build up that pool faster. Now, mind you, it requires whole units to be destroyed, not just characters. But it's only one. Keep in mind, it's only one. It's not each unit you lose. But the fact of the matter is, if you have a character that has the Acts of Faith ability to get destroyed, or hell, if you have two of them, rather than just getting the one dice, you're going to get two. So, but also, if at any point a squad has been injured, like even just one model kicks the bucket, you get to add one to the hit rolls from then on. Even if that model is brought back to life, you know, you just get to add one to your hit rolls henceforth. That seems almost a little too OP, at least on the assumption that they're going to have, you know, a 3-up. Admittedly, I don't know if they would, be 3-up. I'm envisioning they'd be 3-up for their, like, you know, ballistic skill to start. I actually, admittedly, now that I think about it, I don't know if that's the case. But, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it too much. The point being is that you're looking at, you know, 2-ups then, if that's... But even if they are 4-up to begin with, then you're still looking at 3-ups for the rest of the goddamn game. You know, all because of the fact that you just happen to lose one dude. You know, like, that's it. One person dies. Yeah, Corey, yeah, I just looked it up. Standard Battle Sisters got 3-up ballistic skill, 4-up weapon skill. So, yeah, if one model dies in the squad, for the rest of the fucking game, that squad will now weapon skill 3, ballistic skill 2. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. That's, you know, so I feel like that's a very powerful conviction. And then we have, they also showed off Argent Shroud, or, yeah, the is it Argent or is it Ardent? Because I'm seeing both. I think it's Argent. I don't know which one's the typo. Let's see if the inner tubes could tell us. Order of the Argent. Argent Shroud. It's Argent Shroud. Okay, so there is a typo there. But yeah, when a unit with this conviction advances, it can fire ranged weapons as if it had moved without advancing. So if you're looking to, you know, like, move fast, fight very aggressively, whether you're trying to actually get into the enemy's grill for engaging them in combat, or primarily if you're just trying to, you know, move, you know, get your ass across the board so that you can get into proper cover, you can grab objectives, so on and so forth, that can come in handy. Now, it says fire ranged weapons. It does not specify heavy versus, you know, assault versus rapid fire. It's just ranged weapons. So, in theory, then, if they've got, like, a multi-melta and you advance, you're still going to probably get the neg one for firing and moving your multi-melta. But you can still fire and move a goddamn heavy weapon even after advancing. So, that's pretty powerful. Then they showed off some warlord traits. They only showed off one, excuse me. Indomitable Belief, which gives the invulnerable save friendly... the invulnerable save friendly order, you know, so keyword order, infantry models receive from the Shield of Faith abilities improved by 1 to a maximum of 4+, whilst their unit is within 6 inches of this warlord. That's like their invuln save thing. Then we've got stratagems. They showed off for 1 CP, Vessel of the Emperor's Will, Use the stratagem after you perform an act of faith for an Adeptus Sororitas character unit from your army. You gain one miracle dice. Which, alright, cool. You just, boom, there's a miracle dice. Which, once again, those things are going to sound like they're going to be pretty powerful. So being able to stack them up as you can is good. One way you can look at it is you can see it almost, you kind of see it as a trade-off there. On the one hand, you can see it as, well, I could use that one CP for a command reroll. This is true. But what you could do instead is if you spend that one CP and then you put that, you get that die added to your pool, you know, assuming it's a roll you want. You know, assuming that's a useful roll. But depending on the situation, sometimes ones are useful and other times sixes are useful. It's just different. But rather than you getting a, you know, doing the whole command point reroll where you're going to roll and go, oop, nope, I got a garbage roll still. You know, you can roll this thing and add that to your pool. And then, assuming it's not the only die in the pool and stuff, you know, you might have at least something in that pool that's going to come in handy later where you would have used a command reroll for something that was vital. Instead of rolling it, now, mind you, to my understanding, you can't replace, you probably could go roll a die and then do the command reroll if you had to, and that reroll you could probably replace with a miracle die. But you can't just straight up roll your dice first and say, oh, I didn't like these results, I'm going to swap one of these out for a miracle die. I think you'd have to spend the CP to do a command reroll, and then rather than actually rolling it, say, all right, now I'm going to use my miracle die as if I rolled it. That's my understanding of how those miracle dice work. So, but yeah, it can give you a crucial edge when you need it. Now, whether that's worth the one CP or not, it's hard to say. But they also showed off Storm of Retribution for two CP. Use the stratagem when a Retributor squad unit from your army fires Overwatch or is chosen to shoot with. Select one of the following. Until the end of the phase, when resolving an attack made with a heavy bolter by a model in that unit, add one to the hit roll. Until the end of the phase, when resolving an attack made with a heavy flamer by a model in that unit, you can reroll the wound roll. And then, also lastly, until the end of the phase, add 12 inches to the range characteristic of multi-melted models in that unit are equipped with. Until the end of the phase, add 12 inches to the range characteristic of multi-melted models in that unit are equipped with. It's a really weird, I don't know why, that's just worded weirdly. Anywho, and when resolving an attack made with a multi-melted by a model in that unit, add one to the damage roll. So now you don't get all three by the sounds of it. You basically spend the 2 CP. It's basically three stratagems in one. On the one hand, one you could say that it'd be far more useful because in match play you're limited to using once that same stratagem once per phase? Turn? God, I can't even remember right off the top of my head, actually. Admittedly, it's been a while since I played a 40k game directly. But my brain, and I haven't gotten as much sleep lately, too. So forgive me on that. Wow, I got a little too far away from the microphone there by the looks of it, according to the graph there. I was just turning my chair a little bit. Anywho, but yeah, if you're limited to using a stratagem, you know, once per phase. The point is that if you had, you know, Storm of Heavy Bolter and Storm of Flamer and Storm of Multi-Melter, if you had three separate stratagems, you could spend, in theory, let's say they were all 2 CP, 6 CP in one turn to just go nuts, go ape shit. But, because it's these, all three of these are in one and you have to choose one of the three to use at a time, you're limited in those regards. But still, it's got some cool features there. Then they show off some Ecclesiarchy relics. They have like the Book of St. Lucius, which increases the range of all the bearer's aura abilities by 3 inches. So, you know, and it's all your aura abilities by the sounds of it increased by 3 inches. So that gives you some flexibility there. You know, makes your character buff bubbles spread wider, which means, A, you can put them in safer positions. You know, they don't have to be quite as out in the open or quite as close to the fighting in order to be useful. But B, it means you can, well, obviously cover more ground, too. You can help more dudes with that. They also have this Litanies of Faith relic. Once per turn, if a model from your army with this relic is on the battlefield, when you gain a miracle dice, you can re-roll that dice. So, if you roll a miracle dice, and I hate saying a miracle dice and a dice and stuff, but I've said it so many times because of the way GW talks about die and dice interchangeably. I'm not going back down that path. Jesus fuck. Okay, anywho. But yeah, you can reroll that dice. So boom, there you go. You know, that way if you're like, yeah, I got a miracle die, oh, it's a one. You know, once again, it's not to say there's never situations where ones aren't useful, but they are far, you know, in between and stuff. Like, there's, outside of morale tests, there's really not much that, you know, or quantum shielding, but you're not a Necron in this case, so who gives a fuck? But there's, yeah, there's just not much in the game that actually is, you that you actually want lower rolls for, so. But yeah. Yeah, overall, once again, Sisters of Battle are looking badass. I'm really looking forward to seeing more, you know, rules previews. I really, really, really would love to get my hands on the army set. We will see. But only time will tell if that happens or not. So, but I think we're going to call that a call for this week. Yeah, I wanted to go over a few other things and stuff, but we're already over an hour. And it's not like I won't be back next week, because once again, I'm going to stick to this shit. We're going to keep on going. So, but, you know, as always, thank you guys for listening. If you want to help me out, show some support and stuff, you can start by just, following the Facebook page, facebook.com/theregimentalvoxpodcast. You know, telling your friends about it, sharing it on your page, in your news feed, whatever, you know. You can also actually, I don't use it as much, but you can, follow me on Twitter. So it's, twitter.com/regimentalvox. So, you could check me out there. But once again, there's not much going on there, generally speaking. And then, you know, patreon.com/theregimentalvox, any bit helps. $1, $2, $5,000 a month, whatever you got laying around that you don't need, you know, help me out. It helps me, you know, get more, you know, better equipment, and do more things with this podcast. So, I'd like to keep doing this, and I'd like to keep improving the quality of the content, and what I can do as well with the content, you know, like doing videos and shit like that. So, and lastly, once again, I am back on doing some commission painting stuff. So, Danger Close Painting Studio on Facebook, check me out there. Both my brother and I, although he hasn't done anything in a while either. So, but like I said, I'm recently back on it. So, but, yeah, so thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all next week. This is Caleb Meyer signing up for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.